All right, what women want, what every wife would like to say to her husband. Here's something you will never hear a man say. Okay, something you'll never hear a man say. Here, honey, you use the remote. You'll never hear a man say that. Another thing you'll never hear a man say is, look, honey, George Clooney and Brad Pitt. Now, that's a movie. We've got to go see it. Honey, forget Monday Night Football. Let's watch Dancing with the Stars. You'll never hear a man say that. Here's another thing. Honey, while I'm up, can I get you anything? You don't usually hear a man say that. Honey, I'm really troubled. We just don't talk anymore. Honey, can I hold your purse while you try on that outfit? You usually don't hear a man say that. This is something you really never hear a man say. Honey, sex is really not that important. I just really want to be held. So we're going to talk a little bit about what every wife would like to say to her husband. Before we get into that, let me give you a scripture. It's 1 Peter 3:7. It's really a great scripture. There's a lot in this scripture. It says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, speaking of your wives, of course, dwell with them with understanding. You could circle the word understanding. I'm in 1 Peter 3:7. Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. There's a lot in that scripture. He's saying, live with your wives, having understanding, give honor to them. He says that they're a weaker vessel. I'll get to that. It says you're heirs together of the grace of life, and he's talking about how you treat your wife is going to affect your prayer life. There's a lot in that, isn't there? And so it says, live with them with understanding. The New Living Translation says, treat her with understanding as you live together. So I've done a lot of marriage counseling over the years, and I've learned that there's really two issues in dealing with communication with husbands and wives. There's a heart issue, and that means that you have a desire for this to work, that you really care about this relationship, and you want it to get better. It's at the right place in your life. And then there's skills. There's techniques. Now, you can learn all the skills, but if your heart's not there, it's not going to matter. It's not going to last but a day, right? And then there's sometimes just learning some skills, learning some things of how God ordained a marriage and what makes it work. It can really improve what our marriages are like. So you need both, okay? And so in Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Okay, three words for love. This is just interesting. In the Greek, there's three different words. The first one is eros, E-R-O-S. And that's that means like it comes from the word erotic. That means that's the impulsive love between men and women. Okay, that's the body part of you. Then there's philia, P-H-I-L-E-O, and that's the soulish realm. That speaks of a deep friendship, affection, okay, your emotional part. And then agape is the spiritual part. So body, soul, and spirit, eros, philia, and agape. Spiritual, the spiritual part, that goes against our human inclination. That means that's the giving, selfless, expecting nothing in return type of a love that only God gives us. It's unconditional. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He loved us so much he went to the cross for us, right? So that's the type of love that's going to make a marriage strong, agape. Okay, so I want to give you quickly five things that every wife would like to say to her husband. Are you ready? Okay, the first thing she would like to say is, please listen to me. Please listen to me. One of the greatest needs of a wife is to communicate. And so what I've learned in doing marriage counseling and being married 15, 16 years now, is that communication is to relationship what blood is to the human body. It nourishes and sustains a marriage. When you remove it, you no longer have a relationship. So communication is huge. Okay? And the scripture, the proverb says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it's a folly and a shame to him. So let me give you, this is four levels of communication. The first one would be the grunt level. That's like you come home and your wife says, how was your day? And you say, leave me alone. You don't even say anything. You just grunt. Okay? That's the lowest level. A second would be the cliche level. How was your day? That was great. You just say a cliche. The third level would be just the facts. You know, I did this, this, and this. Now leave me alone type of a thing. Okay? Guys are into headlines. Women are into fine print. We just want to give the facts because getting into details, it can be very emotionally draining for us, getting into all that. But the goal of communication is to connect at a heart level. That means you're connecting. And so remember back when you were dating, those of you who are married, you were dating your wife. Remember back when you would just talk on the phone for hours or talk for hours about nothing and fall asleep and then you call her back again. You know, remember those times? And so that's, but see, then pretty soon, you don't even hardly want to talk at all. Yeah, you know, you, and so, I mean, sometimes you just have to get together with your wife and you just have to say, okay, how are you doing? Let's dig into a heart level. You have to take some time out because the speed of life gets busy, especially when you have some kids. I like to say men have a legal pad mentality. You know, here's the solutions. Do this, this, and this. Do this at work. Do this at the house. And everything will be good. Amen. You know what I mean? But listen, ladies don't want our solutions. They don't want our solutions. 95% of women said that a reasonable solution from their husband would not solve their problems. They really don't want us to tell them that their problem is not logical. Or even dumb. Because we have done that before. I've done that before, okay? It's really about their feelings. They want us to understand and acknowledge how they're feeling. Right? Okay, and so you want to just acknowledge how they're feeling. You'll get a lot more mileage out of that. I accidentally was tired the other night and I accidentally told my wife, I said, I got a lot of drama. I don't need to hear about some of your drama. Oh, I'm not even going to tell you what she said. I said, I got to have enough drama right now. I don't need to hear about this drama that's going on at your job. Don't say that. I'll just tell you don't say that. Okay, I'm not even going to tell you what she said. Okay, but it's just listen. I've learned just being engaged and listening, you get mileage out of that. It's not the solutions, right? A second thing, every wife would like to say to her husband is, please romance me, or please surprise me. I remember, you know, when we were dating, I took Ashley out, you know, it was one of our first dates. I took her to prom, and I spent all this money. You know, here's another mistake I made I can tell you not to do. So I spent all this money, we're at this nice restaurant, you know, and I ate fast. So I ate all my food, and she was enjoying her meal, and I was ready to go. You know, I was only about 18. I looked at her, I said, are you done yet? Don't say that. I'm telling you, 16 years ago, that was 20 years ago. She still makes fun of me and uses that against me. I said, are you done yet? Don't do that. It made Ashley pout the rest of the night. But the idea is to never stop dating your wife. You could call it persistent pursuit. Remember when you were pursuing your wife? You know, you were pursuing her. You know, I remember I used to detail my car. I mean, go talk to her parents. I mean, I bought her, you know, some jewelry that turned green after a while, but that doesn't matter. You know, I put aftershave on. I mean, I even bought a Lionel Richie tape. Come on, somebody. I used to rock that thing in there. Ballerina girl. Son. You know, a year later, you know, I just drive up to her house and honk the horn. You know, and then by the time you're married, I'll just go sit in the car, you know, and get on my phone. I don't even, you know. And so the idea is you got to continually pursue her and date her and make that decision. But, you know, it goes back to that scripture. Dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to her. Giving honor to her. And the longer, you know, sometimes if you don't keep that a priority, it'll just slip. You won't prioritize that. You'll treat other people. You'll give them more honor than you do your own wife. A third thing that every woman would like to say to her husband is, please be compassionate with me. Please be compassionate with me. And Colossians 3:19 says, and you husbands must love your wives and never treat them harshly. So generally speaking, men, they talk more rough to each other. They're more harsh to each other. That's how men like to talk. Like when I'm on the football field with my little son CJ, he's 9. You know, I don't say to him, I don't say, come over here, CJ, give me a little kiss. Yeah, you know. Hit that friend over there. Give him a hug. I mean, our team, they say, what makes the grass grow? And all the little kids say, blood. And we say, whose blood? And they say, their blood. Yeah, you know, that's how men like to talk to each other. But, you know, wives, they're not wired like that, are they? The scripture says, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the weaker vessel. In that word, the weaker, it just means different. It certainly doesn't mean less intelligent, does it? We know that. Doesn't mean she doesn't have gifts and strengths that we don't have. It means that she's wired different. She's emotionally different. So we don't command our wives. We don't lord authority over our wives. You know, and it starts with our words. The words that we say are like seeds. They can be like nuclear bombs, and once they're spoken, they can't be taken back. So think about the seeds you're sowing into your wife. You know, you're sowing positive seeds, sowing encouraging seeds. And so a fourth thing that every woman would like to say to her wife is, please show me affection without any motive. Please show me affection without any motive. Because we show affection, but it usually has an end in sight, right? You know, and they know what's coming. They know when you start doing this affection, you know, that what's on your mind, and it doesn't have the same meaning to them. Because most women symbolize, to them, affection, it symbolizes security, protection, comfort, approval, and these things are very important in their eyes. So I found out it's just small affectionate things, it goes a long way. Some women, that's their main love language, just being affectionate is their primary way that they feel loved. To others, it's words of encouragement or gifts or acts of service. For some women, just cleaning and helping around the house, that's everything. I mean, And if you're not doing that, they don't feel loved. The different ways that people feel loved, trying to understand that and do that, it goes a long way. Okay, and so most, but not all, but most affairs start with a lack of affection for the wife and a lack of sex for the husband. That's how important it is. That's very important for your wife to understand. I thought I'd get at least one amen out of that one. I mean, goodness sakes. Did you hear I said most affairs start with a lack of sex for the husband, and no one even said amen. A fifth thing that every woman would like to say to her man, her husband, is please be committed to the family. Please be committed to the family. A wife becomes insecure when she feels like she takes second place. Okay, and this is that scripture. Husbands, dwell with them with understanding and give honor to your wife. She's the most important person in the world to you. And so no matter what your career is or what you're doing, she's the most important. The family's your number one ministry. I remember years ago, I was young, I was in college, and we had this missionary. He was in his 90s. He came from Africa. He's affiliated with our church. He was one of the first missionaries over there, one of the pioneer missionaries in Africa. And he told stories when he went there. He brought a gift. He brought clothing. And he said the people where he went were just totally naked. I've been to parts of Africa where they don't even wear clothes. And so he said he gave one man a necktie, and he just walked around with a necktie on. But this brother's name was Charles Greenway. And so he gathered all the young guys around him one day, and we were saying, tell us about the ministry, tell us about the mission field, Brother Greenway. And he said, you know, let me tell you one thing, it's the most important thing I'm going to tell you. And we thought it would be something like sacrifice, go, you know, give everything to Jesus or whatever, you know, your prayer life or the Bible. And he says, take care of your wives, love your wives. You know, and I just never forgot that. And so being committed to our wives, to our families, that's our number one ministry. That is more important than our careers, than anything else, than our hobbies, our selfishness. Being committed to them is our number one ministry. If we fail there, we failed. Amen. And so dwell with our wives with understanding. The scripture says, giving honor to her that your prayers may not be hindered. And so, you know, as we minister to our wives, our children, as that's our number one ministry, the scripture says our horizontal relationships are going to affect our vertical relationships. So many of you know you can't mistreat your wife and then go straight and have a healthy relationship with God unless you repent. Amen. And so you have to get all that right, and all these relationships are going to flow like God intended. Come on, let's say a quick prayer, and we'll divide up into groups and talk about some of this. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. God, we just need your grace in our lives today. God, it's easy to be hearers of the word. God, but your word says if we're hearers of the word and not doers, we deceive ourselves. God, and I pray that you just give us the grace to apply these things to our life, God. To love our wives as Christ loved the church, it takes supernatural love flowing through us. And I just pray over these men here today, including myself, God, you would help us to love our wives like we should, to love our children, to be the men of God you've called us to be, God. It may not be glamorous in the world's eyes, God, but I just pray you would just prioritize that in our own hearts, in our own lives, and we would make the choices to serve others greater than ourselves, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.